Let's all say amen.
Amen.
Salvation has been brought down. Thank you, Brother Hill, and thank all the brothers that have served thus far this morning. Paul, in his letter to Titus, let him know, reminded him, in Titus 2:11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." Yeah, salvation has been brought down. Now, in other words, the opportunity for one to be saved happened when Christ came down, lived, left an example, and died on the cross. That gave us an opportunity. Amen?
Amen.
I want to say good morning to everyone. And I want to thank you this morning for your presence this morning. As Brother Foreman shared, we don't have a live stream working on this morning. So we're asking all to be on the conference call this morning. Those that are members of Highland Heights, we want you on the conference call also. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we're here today. I'm excited this morning to be before you to share with you from the Word of God. I want to just say, as I like to begin, that we find that we are here to worship God. And there are five acts of worship when we worship God. Luke, when he penned that in Acts 2:42, the Bible says, let me get there. You can see it on the screen. I'm going to get it in my in the Bible. Amen? Yeah. Luke wrote, he said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." And I just want to share this with those that are listening on our conference call. I know we have those that are sick and shut in. And we need to do what we can to reach out to those individuals and communicate with them. And if they are wanting visits, we want to visit with them. But I want to say to those that are there that you're at home now and you're in the convenience of your home. There are five acts of worship. So I'm at home, Brother Stroud, and I'm listening. I'm on the conference call. I'm listening. That's good. That's one of those things. And Brother Stroud, when the brother got up to pray, I was praying with him. That's good. You should do that also. That's prayer. Also, the Bible talks about two other things that if I'm worshiping God, I should be participatory in. Paul said, Luke wrote, fellowship and in breaking of bread. That's the Lord's Supper. So if I'm at home and I'm sick and shut in and I am listening to the Word of God, that's the Apostles' Doctrine. I pray with those that pray. However, Brother Stroud, I don't have no communion at home. You're not fully worshiping.
Amen.
Yeah. I need to share with somebody that I'm sick and I'm shut in. And I need to call somebody. And I need to let them know I need you to bring communion to my home. Because I'm sick and shut in. And if you can't get nobody that will bring communion to your home, you can always call the preacher. I'll bring it to your home. Because if I'm not communing with the Lord every Sunday, I have not fully worshiped. Yeah. Then, if I'm sitting at home and I'm listening on the call and I'm praying and I'm singing, and maybe take communion, if I'm not giving, sitting at home and I listen to the call and I enjoy the call and I pray with them and I sung when they sung, I had my communion here, but I didn't give. You have not fully worshiped today. So, Brother Stroud, I need somebody to show me how to do simple give. I need somebody to show me how to, so I can give to the Lord. There are five acts of worship. And I am to participate in all five acts of worship. And let me say this also. If I'm at home and I'm a member of Highland Heights, I want to share with you that if you are at home and you are not sick and shut in, and you get up and you go to work, well, Brother Stroud, I'm retired. I don't work anymore. Okay, that's fine. If you go to the grocery store, why are you not coming here to worship with us? Yeah. Well, I don't want to, well, you go to the store. Well, I don't want to get, you go to work. I'm saying to you, that's the convenience that is not for you. If you're able to come to worship, you should be coming to worship, assembling with the saints. Now, those that are sick and shut in, that's why we have the conference call. But that conference call is not designed for those that are able to come to worship service. I say amen. Yeah. I want to say that. Yeah. There are five acts of worship. We're going to look at the apostles' doctrine this morning. I lost my screen. I'm going to give to the Lord. That's fellowship. Fellowship, the word means to share what you have, what the Lord has blessed you with. Then the breaking of bread, we've done that. That's taking communion with the Lord and in prayer. And then Paul said, Luke wrote, excuse me, praising God, that's singing with the fruit of our lips, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We said salvation has been brought down. I want to let you know, if you're in the audience this morning, and I'll make that crystal clear in my message this morning. If you're living on earth today, there's only two places that you can be. You're either in the church, because you've been saved from your sins, or you're not in the church and you're in the world. You're either in one or the other. Yeah. So I'm saying to you, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, and I'm going to share with you what God has commanded, what Christ has stated for you to become a Christian and to become a member of the church. There's only one in the Bible. I want to urge you, I want to encourage you, I want to beseech you that you need to do that today. And I'm going to share with you in my message why it's important today. Amen? I usually try to give some questions when I preach a text. I have three questions I want to answer from the text this morning. Three questions. From 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me get there. Yeah. Three questions. Our subject this morning. We talked about last week when Paul began to write about those bad ministers, the preachers, when they were speaking lies and hypocrisy. And so now he was telling Timothy how to become a good minister. And he was telling him in that text where I got my subject from, he told him, be thou an example of the believers. Believers are Christians. He said, you need to be an example of the believers. So my three questions this morning. What is biblical hope? You know, we need hope in this world. Yeah. Not just your first name, hope. We need it also. Yeah, we have a hope in here. Amen. David married hope. Yeah. Yes, he did. You married you some hope. Yeah. Yeah, but this morning, we're going to talk about biblical hope. We all need hope. When hope is taken away, sometimes people choose not to want to live anymore. We're going to talk about that. We're going to answer that this morning from the Word of God. What is biblical hope? Now, the King James, we'll see in the text, the King James translated the word hope, the original text, to the word trust, but he was talking about hope. We're going to answer that question. What is biblical hope this morning? Get your pens, get your paper, write this down. You need this. Amen. Number two, how do you handle when people despise you? How do you handle that? Paul answered that in the text. Because people will despise you. Yeah, the word despise in the text means to disrespect you. How do you handle that? And thirdly, what do you do with the gift that you have been given of God? What is biblical hope? How do you handle people that despise you? And what do you do with the gift that God has given you? God has given all of us some talents. What do you do with them? Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at this morning. We pick it up at verse 10. We finished verse 9 last Sunday, so we pick it up with verse 10 this morning. Again, I do text preaching. I just take the text and let's explain the text. Paul, in writing to Timothy, reminded him. He said, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." So Paul reminded Timothy that the word labor here means to work long and hard. So Paul told him, we both do this. We both labor. We work hard. But also understand, as a preacher, you're going to suffer reproach. People going to criticize you as the preacher. Yeah, but you got to have the right type of spirit. People going to criticize, Paul told him. Yeah. He said, because we trust. And again, that word trust, when you look at the original text, that word means hope. Paul said, for we hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, believe here don't mean that you believe something. Believe in the text means that you have obeyed the Lord and become a believer. Paul said, these things, he said, I want you to command and I want you to teach. So, first question, what is the process of biblical hope for the Christian? Now, understand this. Hope is a process. Yeah. But now, sometimes me and Sister Stroud talk, And sometimes in our talk, I say, babe, I got some bad news and I got some good news. And we kind of train each other to say, to ask the question, give me the bad news first. Yeah. Give me the bad news first. And then, because whatever the bad news is, it can only get better after that. So let me share with us about hope. Let me get the bad news. Yeah, I don't want to put them, but I want you to go to your Bibles. Let you do some work there. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. This is the bad news about hope. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he reminded them of something. And I'm saying to you this morning, if you're not a Christian according to the Bible, right now I am speaking directly to you. I don't want you to miss this. You're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the Lord and become a Christian according to the Bible, and I'm going to tell you how to do that. Paul reminded them in verse number 11. He said, wherefore, remember. I want you to remember something. That ye, being in times past, you were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. So what he was telling him, he said, now the circumcision, excuse me, were the Jews. They had been circumcised. Gentiles were not circumcised. So they were called the uncircumcised by those that were circumcised. Then he told him something in verse number 12 that's important. Excuse me. He said, excuse me, still, I apologize. He said that at that time, ye were without Christ. Paul shared with them, before you got baptized, you did not have Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. In other words, the word alien means you was foreign from those that were Israelites. Not only that, you was a stranger from the covenant of promise that God had made with them. Now watch this here. Paul reminded them, having no hope. And without God in the world. First of all, why is it so important that people need to obey the Lord and become a Christian? Paul said it. Because if you haven't obeyed the Lord, right now you have no hope of going to heaven. Not only that, Paul told them, let them know this. They are without God in their world. That's why it's so important. If you sit here and I hear the sermon and I don't come up here, I want to go on record from the Bible. The Bible, Paul reminded them, before you obeyed the Lord and put on Christ, you had no hope of going to heaven. Not only that, you did not have God in your world. That's the bad news. Now, let me give you the good news about hope. You're sitting here this morning. Yeah, well, so what you say, Pastor? I'm saying to you, you need to become a believer. You need to obey the Lord. You need to put Christ on the baptism and become a Christian. Because if you die as you are now in that state, there's only two places or two ways, conditions, anybody can die. Revelation, you can die in the Lord or you can die in your sins. Yeah. Word of God is serious. So you need to obey the Lord in order to have hope. Now I said that hope has a process. Yeah. For the Christian. It begins with Jesus. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25, Paul, in writing to the Romans, reminded them about Jesus. He said, in verse 24, he said, Jesus our Lord from the dead. The Bible says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up again for our justification. Amen. What Paul was telling them was that Jesus died, excuse me, for our offenses. And then not only did he die on the cross, he was raised up and it was for our justification. What do you mean by justification, Brother Scott? Justification is the act of deciding that a person is not guilty of offenses or sin, they are acquitted. Yeah. So when Jesus died for our sin, it gave those that will follow what God has said, the condition, you can become acquitted. Or you can be not guilty. But you got to obey the Lord. So that's why the next verse, Paul said, therefore, now when you obey the Lord and you follow the Lord and you imitate what the Lord did, he died for sin. He was buried in the tomb. He was rose the third day. You have to die to sin. You are buried in a liquid tomb. You rise up to a new life when you do that. Paul said, therefore, excuse me, struggling with this cough, but I'm going to get through it. He said, now being justified by what? By faith. Yeah. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said, once you obey the Lord, now we know, we should know, Romans 10:16 says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But in verse number 16 of Romans chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10, go to Romans chapter 10 because I want you to need to see this. Romans 10, let us do some with our Bible. Romans 10, and we'll come back to Romans 5. Yeah, in Romans 10:16, Paul said to them, because there may be someone here today. In verse 16, Paul said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who has believed our report? You got the report means a message. You have to obey the gospel. He said, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You have to obey God. And let me say this here. Hope also has to do with you being obedient to God. Sometimes, and I'm going to show you in the text. Let me just get to the text and then you'll see it. So Paul said, you are acquitted or made not guilty by your faith in hearing the word of God and obeying the God. And once you do that, Paul said, you now got peace with God through Jesus Christ. So I want us to understand, all the way through hope, Jesus is with you. Amen. All the way through your hope, Jesus is with you. Jesus started your hope by him dying. He gave you a chance for hope when he died on the cross for your sin, our offenses. That's right. And when we obey the Lord, said, you not got peace with God through Jesus. Yeah. Not only that, Paul says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand in grace. Paul said, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What do you mean by access, Brother Shroud? The word access means the freedom to enter into the presence of God through faith. Yeah. You need to know if you are a Christian, only Christians, according to Philippians, you can turn there, Philippians 4 and verse number 6. Only Christians have access to God. Yeah. We can go in the presence of God. Paul told them in Philippians chapter 4 and the verse is number 6. Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Yeah, see, when you're a Christian, you have access to God. You can go into the presence of God through faith. You can pray to God and ask God to help you. Yeah, you have access to God by faith. And then Paul said, and not only so, but we glory. The word glory in the text means to boast in tribulations also. Now here we go. We're going to start hope now. Hope starts with tribulations. Yeah. I don't know about you, but we all go through stuff. We all have problems in life. You know, we have things. The word tribulations means a very difficult situation. Sometimes we get involved in stuff. But Stroud, I'm in a difficult situation. Hey, and it's hard. And it's rough. Not only that, sometimes it could include pain that affects the mind. But you know, sometimes we can go through physical stuff. I can have surgery. I can have a stress on my mind, anxiety on my mind, and it causing me pain. Paul called it tribulations. So I'm in a difficult situation, Brother Stroud. So what do I do with that? Well, Paul said that knowing that tribulations worketh patience. See, when you're going through some stuff and it's hard, and it's rough, it works for you. Yeah. He said that tribulations bring patience. Now, let me say something about patience. Sometimes when we're going through stuff, we don't do what we're supposed to do. But when you're going through stuff and it's hard, I got to still do what's right. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you something about patience. Because sometimes when we're going through stuff, we don't come to worship service. We don't do what's right. We're doing what's wrong. When it comes to hope,
Hope, Paul said, worketh patience, but I want you to understand how patience works. In Hebrews chapter 10, and the verse is number, I'm going to start at verse 35, so you'll see this. Hebrews 10, 35. Paul's Hebrew writer said, cast not away, or don't throw away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. The Hebrew writer said, the last thing you're supposed to throw away is your confidence, your faith in God. Why? Because it has a great, the word recompense means payment of reward. Watch verse 36. He said, for you have need of what? Watch this here now. Watch patience. He said, you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So patience involves doing the will of God. Sometimes we're going through stuff and we want God to help us. The question on the floor is, are you still doing the will of God? Because the devil will make us fall up our tent and we'll run for cover. But patience involves doing the will of God. And so Paul said in his Roman letter, notice now, hope begins when you're going through stuff. It's difficult. It's hard, Brother Stroud. It's hard. Now, you saying to me, I got to have faith. Yeah, you still got to do the will of God. And then Paul said, you add to your patience experience, and to your experience, you add what? That's where you get your hope from. So, patience is the ability to deal with the difficult situation or the pain. You got to deal with this stuff. Yeah. That's patience. I got to deal with it, but I'm not dealing with it by myself. I'm dealing with it with Jesus. Amen. If you're a Christian. Amen. If you're not a Christian, you're just dealing with it. But if I'm going through some stuff, Jesus started my hope when he died on the cross and I obeyed him. I became a Christian. Amen. So now when I go through some stuff, now I got some experience. I got some proof. I got some evidence. I done went through some stuff and I didn't get myself through this stuff. Jesus brought me through this stuff. Man, it was hard. Remember one time I was working and I didn't have a job and I was married. And I'm going to just say it like this here. Our bank account was down to a teenager. And at that time, you know, you were a young Christian and you just, yeah. What are you going to do? And the last thing you can't do, brothers, you can't look at your wife and she see the fear that you got on the inside. Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to shake, make sure you shake it in your boots. She can't see it. So I remember when I was going through stuff, those that know Brother Miles, I shared with him, I said, Uncle Pete, I said, man, I don't have no job. And he said to me,
He said, that's good. You can get you some rest. I'm looking at him like, did you hear what I said? I said, Uncle Pete, I don't have a job. But see, what I didn't know that he knew, he had been through stuff before. He'd experienced hard times before. He had the proof and the evidence. What you got to do, son, you got to live for the Lord. You got to get you some proof. So I have evidence now that when I'm going through stuff, that as Peter said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12. And his ears are open to their prayer. I can go to God in prayer. Brother Miles knew this. I had to learn this. That's experience. And so when you go through some stuff, and some of our seniors that we have, when you see these young people, these young sisters, our senior sisters, when you see these young children, young sisters going through it and it seems like they about to pull their hair out and they, the children running all around and they can't have them, you need to take them to the side and say, baby, it's going to be all right. Amen. It's going to be all right. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, you having trouble with two. I had 10. Yeah. Yeah, you about to lose it, and you ain't got but two children that you taking care of. Yeah. I had children on a ladder. Every year, one was coming out. That's experience. So you can share with the sister, girl, it's going to be all right. Because we all need some hope. Brother, man, besides, you just don't know. I'm going through this here, and I'm doing this here, and it ain't working. Hey, keep living for the Lord. Keep living for the Lord. And you're going to have some proof that God walk you through all of this. And then as Paul said, and not only do you have to have patience. See it now. Hope starts with me going through. I'm in a tight situation. From that, I develop patience. I learn how to deal with it. But I deal with it with God. Now I got me some proof or evidence. And from that, now I have hope. Hope is confident in one's expectation. You know, you have to do it now, but you go back and read Daniel's letter, somewhere down Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. When Daniel was finna, they finna put Daniel in the fire, Daniel said, I know this, my God is able. Yeah. We have to live life understanding that God is. Yeah. That's how I live. I have confidence in I expect God to be there for me. Amen. Now, as we said, he may not be there when I want him there, but God is always on. Yes, sir. He ain't never been late. He don't catch metro. He don't ride the bus. So I have to live my life. I'm going through some stuff. I got to learn to have patience. Now I got me some proof that God can see me through this. Yeah. That's how we deal with life. And understand this here. Your challenge may not be mine. Mine may not be yours. But whatever it is, We have to have hope. I'm confident that God will see me through. Yeah. Paul told him in the Corinthian letter, God will always make a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, no matter what you're going through, God will make a way of escape. Now, sometimes we have to take the escape that God makes. Sometimes we want more than what God's going to give us. Yeah, I want to talk about hope this morning. Let me move from that. Paul then said, second point, let no man despise thy youth. Paul, at the time, Timothy was a young preacher. And so Paul had to tell him, he said, don't let no man despise your youth. Then he gave, this is my title. He told him, how do you handle when someone is disrespecting, looking down on you? Paul said, the answer is, you be an example for them. Then he told him how to do it. He said, in word, that means I'm in the word of God. That's in my general conversation. Not only that, he said in conversation. Conversation in the King James meant your behavior, how you live. He said in charity. In charity is displaying actions regarding the well-being of another people. In other words, you showing love to other people. In spirit, I'm allowing the word of God to influence me, the Holy Spirit. In faith, meaning I trust in God. In purity, I'm living upright. This is how I respond to it. Paul said, be an example. So he talked to the preacher. Brother Stroud, you need to be a model that everybody can imitate. Do I sin? Yes, I sin. Do I have challenges? Yes, I have challenges. Do I have issues? Yes, I have issues. Still with that, Paul said, be a pattern for other people to follow. 1 Corinthians 1:11, Paul told him, told the church, he said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. All of us need to try to live. Now, it starts with me being an example for you. Then you can be an example for somebody else. That's how you deal when people look down on you. Be an example for them. You take the high road while they taking the low road. They talking about you. They gossiping about you. They player hating on you. Yeah, I tell people sometimes, don't hate the player, love the game. That'll catch up with you later on. Because our Astros finna get busy around here. Yeah. Don't hate the players. Love the game. Yeah. Yeah. Be an example. That's my responsibility. And I'll say this to everybody. I want to be open. Whenever Brother Stroud is not being an example for you, I want you to call me on it. Yeah. Brother Stroud, you was wrong how you did this here. Sister, I apologize. Do you accept my apology? Brother Stroud, you shouldn't have done that. Brother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. See, sometimes we say, I'm human. You know how we say that when we do wrong. I'm just human. Yeah. You know, I ain't nothing but a human. Yeah, but God expects you to live right as a human. And when you do wrong, you're supposed to apologize. Yeah, so I'm putting myself on Front Street. Yeah. That's what Paul told Timothy. You be an example for the church. You be an example. Let them follow your example. Okay, I'll take that. We're going to talk about that this morning. I'm encouraged by the Safer Bible class. We're going to look at this text this morning. They asked me to teach this morning. Well, I volunteered to teach this morning. I don't have no problem with it. You know, sometimes it's easy for a person to stand up here and, you know, I call it shadow boxing, Brother Kirby. It's easy to sit up here in a punching bag, but it's different when people punching back at you. Yeah. So I don't have no problem putting whatever I teach, you can punch me. Yeah. And you have a right to punch anything I preach. You have a right to swing at it. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to do that Bible study this morning. I'm encouraging everybody to stay for Bible class. Brother Stroud is going to teach Bible class this morning. We're going to open this up and look at it. Ask any question you want. Yeah, like I said, it's easy when ain't nobody punching back. It's easy to shoot at somebody and let some bullets come back at you. Whole different ball game. Yeah. Let's get this. Paul said, not only Timothy, not only that, He said, till I come, I want you to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Paul told Timothy, you're a preacher. Until I come back, I want you to give, the word attendance here means attention. I want you to give attention to exhortation and to doctrine. It's my responsibility to try to influence or to urge you to do that which is right through the word of God by teaching you the word of God. Paul said, do that. Then he said, verse 14, but this is unto the Christians. I'm sorry. When I talked about, he told him to read and to study, but I'm also saying to you all, Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It's the responsibility of every Christian to read their Bibles and to get an understanding of what the word of God says. Yeah, not just for me. Now, that what Paul was saying to Timothy was to the preacher, but I'm saying when he wrote to the Ephesians, that's for everybody. Everybody, I mean, there should not be a day go by where you don't read your Bible. Yeah. And you need to get understanding. Understanding means being able to grab with your mind. And then Paul said, neglect. Third question. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And Paul said, in his second Timothy letter, he wrote him, Paul laid hands on Timothy and he gave Timothy a gift. And I'm saying to each of us this morning, we all have gifts. Look at Romans chapter 12. Sure, all of us have gifts. And then verse 13, as I close, see what you do with your gift. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to start at verse number 5. Romans 12 and 5. Paul talking to the Romans. He talked to the church. He says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone, members one of another. Watch verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Paul said, we all have gifts. We all have talent. My question is, how are you using your talent for the Lord? I'm talking Highland Heights members. How are you using your talent or your gift, what God has blessed you with? Paul, he enumerates some things. He says some of us are encouraged in verse number 8. He said, or verse 7, or ministry. He said, let us wait on the ministry. Or he that teaches on teaching. If you're able to teach, we should be teaching. Or he that exhorted on exhortation. Some of us are very good encouragers. We need you to encourage people. I need encouragement. He said, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. In other words, some of us are just good givers. Then give. Yeah. Whatever your gift is, Paul enumerated about 7 gifts. He said, on him that showeth mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Some of us know how to cheer people up. Yeah. We had a funeral yesterday. We come to a funeral. Let me show you why we come to a funeral. Yeah. Look in verse number 15. That's why you come and support our brother, our sister at a funeral. Because Paul said in verse 15, rejoice with them that what? Rejoice. Yeah. When something good happens to a family, a child is born, somebody get a new house, and they happy, they joyous.
The Lord said, rejoice with them. But on the flip side, Paul said also, he said, and weep with them that weep. The reason we come to funerals sometimes is to support those that were weeping. We weep with them. So they'll know they're not going through this by themselves. That's part of Christianity. It's not just in the good times we with people. We got to learn to be with people when they're in their bad times. Yeah. That's how we do this, Highland Heights. Yeah. And see, there's no such thing. Be careful now. When we call some of us sometimes measure what we call big funerals and little funerals. Yeah. When some people pass, you can't get nobody in here. Mm-hmm. When other people pass, you can't get nobody to come here. Mm. Be careful. Mm-hmm. Be careful that you don't be hypocritical.
There you go.
Yeah. We love everybody.
Amen.
If I'm available, I want to support people. Yeah. It's not based on who it is. It's who I'm supporting. How do I use my gift, my talent? Paul said it as I'm closing. Paul said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Let's look at that. The word meditate doesn't mean to meditate. That text means to practice. Paul said, whatever talent you have, you gotta practice it. Then he said, give yourself wholly. That means completely to it. He said that thy profiting, the word profiting here means your progress may appear in all. Everybody see that you're growing. That's what Paul said. When you practice something, other people see it. They can say, man, you know what? Brother so-and-so growing. I remember he was just coming to, he was hitting and missing at worship. Now that brother's here every Sunday. Yeah. He progressing. And then my final verse, Paul said, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Paul told Timothy, I want you to take heed, look at yourself, examine yourself, Brother Stroud. Then I want you to take heed to the doctrine. And I want you to continue in the doctrine. For in doing this, notice what he said, you can save yourself and them that hear you. Now Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, he said, let your light shine that others may see your good works. We live as a Christian that other people in our neighborhood and our community, and those, especially those that spend time with us, they can see that you're living as a Christian. If you're not living as a Christian, and if you're doing the same thing wrong that they're doing, why they want to be like you? Yeah. Yeah. Paul said, give yourself wholly to them. Be thou an example of the believer. You're here this morning. You're not a Christian. You're not a believer yet. But I'm going to share with you what Jesus said for you to become a believer. And my hope this morning is that you're sitting in the audience this morning and you're not a Christian. You're going to do what the Bible says do. The Bible teaches us in that 1 Timothy letter, Paul said, Christ who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Christ was a ransom for us. What does ransom mean? When somebody holds somebody up, they want a ransom. Ransom is something paid for the release of someone from captivity. We, right now, you are in captivity to sin. Sin got you captive. The devil got you captive. Jesus died for you to get free. Christ gave up his life in an atonement for sin. it holds good for those that are obedient to the condition stated in the Bible. Christ was our propitiation. What did Jesus say we're supposed to do? First thing come, you got to hear something. Jesus, every text I'm giving is what Jesus said. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So you got to hear what God say, then you got to want to do it. Then you got to believe the word of God. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. You got to believe that God sent Christ to this earth. Third, you got to repent. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does repentance mean, Brother Stroud? Repentance means you've been living your life right now. Now what you need to do, you need to repent. Repentance begins with you turning to the Lord. You turn to the Lord through the word of God. That's repentance. Okay, Brother Stroud, I turn to the Lord, I repent. What else I got to do? Then you got to confess. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. What I got to do, Brother Stroud, according to Acts 8:37, you'll come up here, you'll make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you do. You have to confess your sin, because we all know we're the sin. You confess what you now believe in your heart, according to the Bible, from 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that Jesus Christ died for my sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. You confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then Jesus said, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You have to believe that. And then the final thing you have to do, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved from their past sin. Yes. So you have to come this morning. You have to make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we'll get you prepared to baptize you. You are not a Christian. You don't have no hope until you obey God and become a Christian, yes, according to the Bible. Right. I hope this morning that someone this morning, that will come this morning, you'll be added to the Lord. I said that this morning. I said also that a Christian is the church is a spiritual body of baptized believers. You're called out from the world over which Christ rules as a head. Christ is the head of this church here. Yeah. Christ is the head. And we do things according to the Bible. My hope and prayer this morning is that you'll come this morning. Brother David is going to sing a song of invitation. The invitation is inviting you to come down here. If you're a person that want to choose to serve with us, if you want to serve with us, you come down this morning, let us know, Brother Stroud, I want to serve with this congregation. You come down this morning, and we will allow you to do that. So if you need to respond in any way, shape, or form, come this morning. Together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus.
We bid you to come.
He came to love.
If you want to respond to the message, come down.
Heal and forgive. He lived and died.
Anyone want to respond this morning?
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives.